And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
All right. I'm just gonna play us in a little bit.
When are you gonna tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, awesome.
A little, you know, like excited, nervous, not sure what to expect, but
it's very safe spot.
Open to it, you know.
Cool.
Yeah.
I can't hear myself now. I can. There we go. And this is us.
Yay.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Let me see if I have any news to announce first before I announce you. James's Warriors Music Festival, July 27th, noon to 9:30. I'm hosting 9.5 hours.
I plan to attend that.
Like, do you?
To come. Yeah, I want to see like some of the bands that are playing. I might come for a couple hours.
Awesome. Yeah, do you want to do a song?
I mean, of course.
All right, I'll do cool. A song. There, beautiful. Yeah. No, because the way it works, the bands have 15 minutes to swap out.
Okay.
So I have to vamp for like 15 minutes six times, uh-huh. Which is an hour and a half.
Yeah.
That's a lot of John. That's more John than we need.
So
I thought I would have people come up and just like do one song. I'll just have there'll just be a mic and I'll have a guitar and we'll figure something out beforehand. And
I'm open to that. Yeah.
Beautiful. All right.
I didn't expect that.
You're the first signed artist. Congratulations.
Good for me.
So there's that. And then the Lifted Project is doing the Hope Rocks Festival.
Right.
August 24th.
And I can go to that too.
You can?
Oh, I can. It turned out that I'm taking my son to college on the 22nd. So
okay.
It worked out.
Would you solo?
Sure.
Beautiful. Okay.
I'm not going to say no to these offers, you know? Like, Knox, you don't say no.
That's fantastic. So the Hope Rocks Festival is really cool because it's a half hour presentation. Ooh. Have you ever been to that?
No.
Okay. So the first they do a village, mm-hmm. and it's all about suicide prevention. So there's all, you know, organizations mm-hmm. that deal with suicide prevention and addiction. So it's basically like a indoor fair and they have booths where they, you know, there's resources and if you are in need, you can go. So the Lifted Project's going to have a booth there. So if you want to come and answer questions, people, awesome.
I totally love that. I love that. And anything to do with mental health, addiction, all that, it's like such a cause near and dear to my heart. You know what I mean?
Okay, I'm going to pick that apart. Oh, listen to it. So that's Dan. I'm John. This is Home From Here,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
And this is our first televised or recorded video recording.
Yeah.
And I asked Heather Vicar to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know each other, so I thought we do kind of, but.
Well, I mean, through Facebook, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I thought, I met you through the Lifted Project, kind of.
Yes, yes.
And there's the extended version of the Lifted Project where you fucking went off. And I was like, wait a second, how come nobody told me? I thought singer, I'll be safe. We knew each other on Facebook enough.
Yeah.
I knew you weren't Fruit Loops. Because you were one of the few people who weren't on the show first because I wanted people that I knew because the first one was going to be tricky.
Uh-huh.
And so I wanted people that I knew, but I'm like, she looks right behind the eyes. Let's see. And you went off and you were great.
Thank you.
All right. Mental health first.
Sure.
You crazy?
I'm not. Well, I mean, I think we're all a little bit crazy, right? But,
right.
You know, I've had my fair share of things that I've gone through in life, but overcame them, and I'm continuing to evolve and grow every single day. So,
because I've stopped. So, no, I'm just kidding.
That's not true.
No, it's really not true. Like depression or?
Depression, anxiety, oof. Eating disorders. I'm 3.5 years alcohol free. Oh, yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
What was that? Was that a forced stop or was it?
It was like, I made my cousin laugh when I told her this. I'm like, it was like breaking up with a bad boyfriend. It was like, right. You know what? We've had a good run and we had some good times, but you know, I don't enjoy waking up the next day and not remembering what I did and feeling like crap about myself. So I think I think we need to part ways. It's not you, it's me. Right? So, and it's been, you know, and I have not looked back. My husband's incredibly supportive.
That's cool.
And I'm in the best space of my life right now.
That's fantastic.
So I'm really grateful to be here.
Well, we are grateful you are here. You went cold turkey? You didn't think like I could do one or two a day and be fine?
Here's the thing. I wanted to do like a sober January and then that went into a February, March, right? Then it went to years and I'm like, it feels too good to feel this good, so why go back?
Why go back, right?
I have all kinds of other things I do now to substitute that. So it's like I have my spirituality. I have my singing. You know, singing is a huge release for me, and it's how I express my emotions. So journaling, all those things.
How much journaling do you do?
I journal every day.
That's a hot button in here. Do you do?
I do.
When do you have like a practice that you do it?
So in the mornings, I like light a candle, I play meditation music, and I meditate for a few minutes or like 10 minutes or whatever I feel. And then I just start to, just whatever's coming to me, I just write it down and just messages that kind of come from the universe. And
Are you a medium?
I don't like to label myself as anything. I feel like I'm just very spiritual, very connected to all that is, you know.
Like what kind of messages do you get?
I just get like, well, it's like, it's probably coming from me and my higher self, you know. We all have like aspects to ourselves and I feel like my higher self is always speaking to me, but maybe through my ancestors, you know, maybe through my spirit guides. And I really just don't discount any of it and I'm just very open to.
But are they like grocery lists or are they, this is the way the world works or what is it?
It's kind of like how I can get like out of my own head and out of my own way. Like it's advice.
Well, that sounds good.
I get like epiphanies when I'm journaling. So, and I feel like that's not always from me. That's like from something.
That's so, okay. Now I know why we connect. Cause I,
yeah.
So, you know about me in the morning page.
I do.
Right. Yeah. So, same thing. I don't channel anything or get messages from, I get messages from like the dog that she needs to go out.
Yeah.
But I don't get messages from.
And it's not like just that either. It's like I get signs from like, you know, I'll see certain patterns of numbers. I'll hear lyrics in a song. I feel like I'm meant to hear that in that moment, you know, mm-hmm.
I had a woman in here the other day. She had like 38 surgeries, some crazy surgery. Mm-hmm. And the last one was on her birthday and it was like 18 years ago. And she said every day since that birthday, I'm not going to make up the, like say she was born for April 13th.
Okay.
Every day since then, she's seen 4/13. At some point during the day, she's like, every day.
Yeah, it's like a message probably from her guides just saying, you know, you're on the right path. Like you can look into it and or you could just go with what you're feeling in the moment. And that's kind of what I do.
Right.
I also pull cards. So cards also give me messages.
Mm.
Yeah.
Are you religious at all?
I'm open to all of it. Like I was brought up Catholic.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry.
But I believe that there's more to this earth than just here. Like, I believe there's more to our, like, I don't believe that when we die, our soul goes with our body. I believe our soul lives on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe we even had past lives and all of that. Yeah, I'm kind of, I guess you asked me if I was crazy, maybe a little.
Okay. How did you transition from Catholicism to?
Oh, I mean, listen, it was kind of like I was brought up Catholic. I did all my sacraments. I went all the way to, like, you know, confirmation. And then it was kind of left up to us. And I would go back and forth to go into church with my mother. And then, I don't know, like around the time that I was like healing from my eating disorder, right?
Right.
I discovered, that was when I started to discover like a different type of spirituality. And then I just started to lean into that more. And I've met people that are in the same realm of that, like where they've kind of been brought up with that. But then they've gone into this other thing. And I feel like Bob Marley, John Lennon, writing songs like Imagine and One Love, I feel like there's just like one universal that brings all religions really together that I feel like man has made it work for them. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like humans have made it work. Like, here are the rules of this religion, where I don't feel like that's not something I believe.
I kind of agree with you. I had a long walk out of Christianity too. But I, every format of it that I bumped into seemed to, I would think religion should be born out of observation. Mm-hmm. This is the way the world works. This is how I translate it. Mm-hmm. This is my relationship to whatever else there is other than us. And this is how I interpret it. And the rules come from that. But every religion that I bumped into said, no, no, no. The rules come from this group of guys. And mm-hmm. they made the rules so that you would give 10% so that they didn't have to farm. And it, like that.
It was political.
Yeah. And so, So I just started trying, like recently, just to try to observe what really is mm-hmm. and try to interpret the world that way, which is kind of Buddhist a little bit.
I feel like I believe all different aspects of all religions. I think they're all from source, you know, like
right.
source, God, you know, the universe.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you, the eating disorder, what yeah. was that?
Well, it wasn't fun. It started young, you know, just kind of the culture that
did you grow up
I
around
was
here?
Brought up in, yeah, I like lived in Yonkers until I was about 8 years old.
Okay,
moved up, you know, to Stormville. And I don't know. I don't know if it was that. I think I just saw the magazines and like people like comparing myself. But more, I dig into why maybe I had that eating disorder was a control thing, and it was a way for me to quell my anxiety, quell my the negative thoughts in my head. I had something to obsess over and kind of focus on.
Right.
But it manifested in all kinds of yucky ways. But I mean, I just had to at one point just say, all right, this isn't working anymore. I can't live like this anymore. And I started to go to therapy. And it's interesting because, like, I've been playing out for many years now.
Right. What's the name of the band?
Early Misfit Toys.
And
Willow Blue.
Okay.
So I have Willow Blue as my duo for 12 years. And Misfit Toys is a band that's been around for about a year and a half. I've been in lots of different projects all my life. But, you know, when I was really young, I started singing. And but then when I went to high school, I had, like, a chorus teacher tell me that I wasn't, you know, cut out for it. And so I quit chorus and then kind of lost my confidence. I didn't do anything in high school, but then that's when the eating disorder was happening.
Right.
Trying to navigate high school, trying to navigate boys liking me and all this other
right.
bull crap in my life. Right. And then I get to my 20s and I meet my husband now.
Right? Okay.
So I'm 21. I meet my husband. Now I'm feeling like, oh, this is what love is supposed to feel like. Oh, this is.
How long are you together?
28 years. Oof. Married for 20.
Oof, well yeah. done.
Thank you.
I got questions about that, but we're eating disorder first.
Right. So I'm about 22, 23. I decide I'm going to go to therapy. I want to start to help myself. I want to heal.
Right.
I decide this is time. And on the way to therapy one day, I discovered, like, I just started singing in the car and I was like, ooh, I like the way this feels. And I sang for my therapist and she cried.
Mm.
And I got chills just now. I don't know why. I just
awesome.
Got chills, but it was like so cool. It was like this like pinnacle moment for me.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe this is something that I should do, you know? And so I started going to like karaoke and I started singing in karaoke. And then because I was a singer, I didn't want to ruin my voice anymore. So I stopped the behaviors. You know what I mean? It all
okay.
kind of started. Music became my healing.
Right.
Thing, yeah.
Do you work too?
I do.
What
I
do
have
you
a
do?
Job. I work for Laerdal Medical. I'm a scheduler.
Oh, okay.
So,
does the music business drive you crazy the way it does me?
I mean, it's
the money part of it.
Money part, not so much.
It makes me insane.
It does.
I won't mention the place, but I did me and another guy that I play with once in a while did 2.5 hours. And I trusted the place because I played there before
mm-hmm.
on Friday night, 2.5 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the place was full.
Mm-hmm.
And because I trusted the place, I didn't ask what they were paying beforehand. Right. For the, guess how much for the two of us?
I don't know, like $100.
$50 each.
That, yeah, $100.
That's insane.
Each.
That's insane.
Yeah,
and I don't play out for money much, so I didn't, you know, it didn't reflect. That makes me crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that can be tricky. I know with us, the us guys, you know, the us misfits.
Yeah.
We're just like, we just want to play out and just have fun. And so like sometimes we'll take a pay like that. But like some places pay us more and we just kind of go with it. For me, it's like the booking of the gigs. It's like another job.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's part of why I don't do it. Because I'm just like, I get booking guests is hard enough without dealing with.
Yeah.
Right. Without dealing with booking myself. But the thing that makes me crazy about it is that acts are, you know, you get hired to pull people with you, right?
Right.
And which is already annoying and you should be paid for that. Even if I don't sing. Right. I should still be paid because I'm an advertisement for you. People are coming in part choosing your bar because they want to hear whatever, you know, whatever the mm-hmm. music is doing. And then you're giving people a few of the best hours of their week. Mm-hmm. That ought to be really valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And if not the most important part, vodka tastes the same everywhere. Light beer tastes the same everywhere, right?
But music isn't all the same,
right?
Yeah.
So you're the differentiator.
Mm-hmm.
So you're giving a valuable experience. You're probably the most valuable part of the valuable experience, and you get paid the least.
Yeah.
Makes me nuts.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start a musicians union up here. I won't really, but somebody should get on that. So, okay. So you have the eating disorder. It's something you can control. Then you go to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you learn in therapy? Are you still in therapy?
No.
Oh, how'd you break up?
I wonder. I don't know. You know what? I went to my therapist for a while and then I was really doing well for a while with my eating disorder. And then I went through a really hard time in my life where both my parents were getting divorced, and I was like 27 at the time.
Oof.
My grandparents both just passed away, and my aunt was tragically killed. It was a really tumultuous time in my life.
What span of time?
It was an 8-month span of time.
Oof, that's a lot.
It was a lot of grief. It was a lot of.
That's a lot of kicking the balls for 8 months. Yeah.
I was numb, and at the time, my dog died too. My mom. Wait, I'm sorry. My husband proposes to me.
In that
time, I start a
smart
new
dude.
Job.
He knew you were down. He said, she's vulnerable now. I'm the other one. She's weak.
You know what he told me? He had the ring for a while, and he was like, it was Christmas Eve, and I did not want to host Christmas Eve. It was my first Christmas Eve hosting, and all my family was going to come over, and I had no desire. I was so broken. Like, there was just so much going on, and I just did not have the energy. I just wanted to crawl into a hole.
Sure.
And my husband, like, really pushed. He was like, no, no, no. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I'm like, whatever, whatever. So then all of a sudden, I start to feel the spirit. My mom says she's going to come now because she wasn't going to come because my dad was going to be, you know what I mean?
Okay.
It's like this whole dynamic. And then Christmas Eve happens. I'm in the spirit. All of a sudden, I feel really great. Everyone comes in. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, all of his family starts walking. I'm like, that's so nice. They want to see our new place. Like, isn't that cute? Oh, look, everyone's coming. Look at Pop's here. Nan's here. All of a sudden, like, we're doing a toast. I'm helping them put all like the plastic champagne cups together.
Right.
Like, why are we going to do a toast? This is great. No clue, right?
Right.
Whole family there. We're standing in front of the Christmas tree. And I'm like, yeah, let's cheers to have this new place. And everyone looks to Tony. And I'm like, what's going on? Why are you getting on your knee? What's going on? Did you fall? What happened? And he proposes. And I just fall to my freaking knees. And yeah, so here we are, 28.
He's a smart.
20 years.
He's a smart man. So you're weak. You're public facing now. You're going to say no in front of like
I would have
everybody.
Never said no. I was with him for 8 years.
Man.
And I loved him. I love him with all my heart. And we had been through so much already.
Right.
And I was hounding him. Oh, when are we going to get married?
Oh, okay.
We're going to get married someday. Okay, we're going to get married someday. And then, so then like this particular year, I'm not because
right.
I'm already just
getting,
I'm overwhelmed. So he really surprised me. So.
Okay.
And it was the best.
So that turned a shitty year around.
It did, but that was a lot to navigate still. So I went back to therapy.
Okay.
Around then. So.
What's the most valuable thing you learned in therapy?
That when the evil thoughts start to replay, you can stop the tape. That was one thing that my therapist said that has stayed with me until now. It's like, stop the tape. Stop the tape.
That's what meditation taught me.
Re-record a new story, like a new narrative. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, retell your story in a different way. You don't have to keep going back there.
You know? Yeah. But I think for me, meditation, yeah. I suck at therapy apparently because I've been in and out of it for forever and it just never took.
Yeah.
But meditation taught me because like people think when you meditate, you don't think. That's no, you think all the time. But what you do is you let it go.
You let it go.
Right.
You surrender so then, to the thoughts.
Right. Yes. So what dawned on me is, well, wait a second. If I can let a thought go when I'm meditating, mm-hmm. I can probably let a thought go when I'm not meditating. Mm-hmm. And if I can let a thought go, it doesn't have to bother me anymore. Mm-hmm. And
give it power.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And you learn to control your mind.
Yeah, it's like working with your mind, you know?
Yeah.
The word control, it's like I try to be like, okay,
I'm manage. Manage.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm working with
I'm managing
thoughts.
It, yeah.
I'm transmuting them
right.
into a positive thought, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I look at it, control is wrong, but manage is right.
I'm not saying it's wrong.
It is wrong because you can't control it. If you could control it, you could not think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't not think.
Right.
So, but you can manage it. Were you ever do any prescription?
Oh, for a very short period of time, I was on like Effexor.
Barrow.
A long, long time ago.
I know a little bit about Effexor.
So I was on Effexor. And then I got pregnant, and so I went off Effexor. And then I felt like having my son and all that was kind of like I didn't want to go back to any, like, drugs. I don't know. I'm not on anything now.
Right.
You know, I'm really – I don't drink alcohol. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like I'm really just – I'm with my feelings. And I know sometimes that's hard and uncomfortable. But the reason I drank was to quell those feelings. The
right.
reason I had an eating disorder was to quell those feelings. And now it's like I'm in the feelings. I feel what I need to feel. And then I move through it and on the other side of it. And yeah.
How old's your son?
18. He's graduating high school, going off to college. It's all happening.
I'm going through that same thing. I'm not going to make it. My daughter's going next year, and I'm.
You're in the college process right now.
Yeah. But I'm not because I'm putting the brakes on it. I'm like, no, you can't go. I can't because she and I have been through some shit. So good. Like we're stupid tight. And I'm like, I don't know how to. Like we're in that house yesterday. And I'm in my office and I feel like something on the top of my head, right? So I go out to Trish and I'm like, I feel like there's something on the top of my head. And she goes, that's because you got a bad haircut. So I go to Gramercy's room. I'm like, do I have a bad haircut? And she goes, no, your haircut's fine. I'm like, okay. Like, I rely on her. So I'm like, you can't move out. There's no way.
I'm doomed. You're not doomed. Listen, my son is pretty independent. He's an only child. So
same.
Yeah. And it's funny. Everyone's like, oh, you got to get used to empty nest. And I'm like, I already feel like I am an empty – because he's so independent. He goes everywhere. He has a full-time job. Like not a full-time job, but he works for like – he's been working for Burger King now for like 3 years. Like he's
cool.
been really good about that. And he's, you know, goes to his friends' houses. He goes here. He goes there. I'm lucky if I see him a lot. But – I'm going to miss when he comes upstairs and he's like, Mom, I need you. Mom, can I talk to you? Like, I'm going to miss that.
Right.
I'm going to miss him to death. I'm telling you, he's going to be 5 hours away. It's going to be hard.
See, I would sign on for 5 hours right now. Gramercy wants to go, like, to North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like,
which is a flight.
So, we live in Westchester.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Westchester. I do like Westchester, but I don't like where I live. But, so when she started going out, like, we know people. So I said, you know, listen, if you get in trouble, mm-hmm. and, you know, you call me, mm-hmm. and I'll, you know, we'll figure whatever out. We have this rule that if you tell me something, it's a problem we have to solve. If I find out about something,
yeah,
it's that it becomes actionable, right? So the first time she wanted to go into the city with her friends, I said, you're going to a place where I can't get you. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, then maybe I don't want to go. So then she said, Dad, I want to go to North Carolina. And I'm like, no, you're going to a place where I can't get you. Mm-hmm. And but now she doesn't care because now she's older. She's like, yeah, that's mm-hmm. kind of the point, is I'm going someplace you can't get me.
Yeah. It's like giving them that wingspan to fly and like kind of.
Do they need wingspan? Or, like I've seen people that hung out in the same town their whole lives and they seem fine. There was, they don't look limited in any way. Did you need wingspan?
No, I guess not.
There you have it.
But at the same time, I say this to my son all the time. I'm like, watching him thrive where I didn't in life, like at the age.
Right.
I'm like, he's healed that experience for me by watching him thrive. And even though he's gone through some hard times, he still is like just a very strong and determined young man. Like he's
That's
very,
awesome.
Yeah. And I'm just like really proud of him. Like I want to give him the wingspan.
Does it have this effect on you? When I watch Gramercy do things, mm-hmm. I have like this bizarre optimism, like, hey, man, her generation seems to have their shit together, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Like a little bit more, definitely more than mine. I don't know about yours.
So they're similar in age, I believe. So
yeah, Gramercy's 16 and a half. Yeah.
So Nicholas is 18. And is
Nicholas seeing anybody?
No, actually, he's not.
After the
not
show.
At the time. Nicholas, for you.
We can arrange. Wait.
She's beautiful, too.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
And I have to say at the Lifted Project, I'm very observant. Like, I observe a lot. I try to be very present. And I noticed some specific things at the Lifted Project that happened.
Go.
While I was singing. And I noticed when Bianca took
Gramercy
outside to, like, give her some confidence and boost her up. And then she killed it.
Yep.
And then I noticed when Leslie and your wife went. I danced and I looked and I smiled at them and I was like, I see what's happening here, but I didn't know at the time. I didn't know Leslie. I didn't remember that was that was the one you were talking to us about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she's dancing. And then when it all came together after, and I was just like, oh wow, I totally peeped that.
I'm going to cry now. I will never forget that. She was doing a show with me and she said, and this is before the Lifted Project was a thing. And she said, I go, what do you like to do? And she goes, I love to dance to live music, but you know, I don't get out at night much mm-hmm. anymore. So I'm saying, okay, I will hook you up. So I had Natasha's band in mm-hmm. and Leslie co-hosted, but the studio where I was at the time was literally half the size of this table. I'm not exaggerating.
Oh, wow.
And there was four band members, a producer, mm-hmm. me and Leslie. So Leslie's basically on my lap, yeah. so she couldn't move. So I'm like, okay, that failed. So I'm like, all right, let's go to an airport. There's going to be room in an airport for you. And
that was beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
And I totally noticed that moment. And that really was a magical thing to be a part of. And thank you for having me on it.
Oh, thank you.
Because when I reached out, I was like, I am seeing this come across my feed every minute. And it was, I'll never forget it. It was the new moon, because I do like new moon meditations and stuff. And then right before I started to do it, I reached out to you. I'm like, listen, I keep seeing this. I just watched the We Are the World documentary. I feel like it's a sign. If there's room, let me know. If not, can't hurt to ask.
Yeah.
You know? It was really cool. So I was glad to be a part of all that.
Well, we're doing it again in April, and it's going to be a little bit more off the hook.
Can't wait.
We're a 200-person choir. The core group is still the core group.
Okay.
We're doing a 50-person children's, I think it's 50-person children's choir first. Gosh. They're doing an original song. And then the core group is going to do another original song. Mm-hmm. And then a core group with a backup group of 150 is mm-hmm. going to do Won't Be Broken.
And that song was in my head for months after. Months after. Yeah,
thank you. Yeah. No, that was the weirdest experience for me because it was all flow. Like all flow.
Was.
Like nothing went wrong.
No, it was like I wasn't sure how long I was going to be there. And but it was like the way it came together so quickly. We did maybe, I don't know, a handful of takes. And then it was like, all right, we're recording. Like, whoa, whoa, okay, that's fast. But during the part with the extended version, I totally was not aware that it was the ad lib part until Cher like caught my eye.
Right.
And was like, get down here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
I'm so glad she did.
Me too.
And I
have to thank her.
And I'm listening. Well, wait till you see the video of it.
Oh,
we're still working on that. But when you see the video, it's you.
I just get up there and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm just like,
and then you started singing. When you started singing, I'm like, what the fuck? And I got mad at everybody except you because I'm like, I didn't know your voice. How come nobody told me?
Oh my god.
I'm like, so. Anyway.
Was it meant to happen that way?
Okay. All right.
I was supposed to surprise you.
Well, you did. but no, and that thing with Bianca and Gramercy was cool too. Because that's what the whole thing's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about lifting transferring energy up. And lifting each other yes. without an agenda. I'm just here to help you and I'm going to disappear. That's what it was supposed to be.
What I kept saying to everybody, they're like, so cool, this thing, right? Isn't this so cool? I'm like, yeah, I'm just happy to be here. I'm just happy to be here. And, you know, and yeah. that was true. I was happy to be here in this moment with all of these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's New Moon? I don't even know what that is.
This is like part of my spiritual stuff. So woo! My husband, he like laughs at me. He goes, oh, the new moon. Oh, that's the full moon. Yeah, the full
moon. Is he
moon,
this way too?
No, but he supports my woo-woo.
Okay. You got to at least support the woo-woo if you're exactly. not going to be in the woo-woo.
Yeah, and I think on some level, like, it's funny, like if he comes across like, let's say on his like watch, it says 22222, he will text me a picture of it because he knows what that means for me. He knows that like I'm aware of like what that might mean and he knows I'll appreciate that. So like he'll do things like,
okay.
That. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's
supportive.
Okay.
He gets it. But he doesn't necessarily follow it. Right. So a full moon is about like releasing and letting go.
Okay.
And a new moon is about bringing in new opportunities, kind of like making your wishes to the universe, kind of setting your intentions for the next cycle.
So new moon
cycle.
Comes after the full moon?
Yeah, the new moon is the dark moon, so you don't see it. When it starts to appear again, you see that crescent.
Okay.
You know, and okay. then it starts to...
So new moon is no moon.
Yeah.
Got it. All right.
But it's still there.
But it's there, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's... So. And then, sorry, say it again, because I was thinking of a joke and I couldn't. So new moon is setting your intentions.
Yeah, like setting your intentions, like new beginnings and kind of like a fresh slate. Like you kind of reflect on the last, because every cycle of the moon, like the cycle of the moon is about it's like 2 weeks and then 2 weeks. So it's like about a month. So reflect on last month and how did you do and like what goals did you achieve and what goals do you want to achieve? And you kind of go through it that way. And it's interesting since I started doing this, the things that have come into my life and the people who have come into my life, the opportunities, you know, by being open and kind of putting my thoughts in that direction. And
where are you on law of attraction?
Oh, I'm huge on that.
Yeah. Huh?
Huge. Yes.
Interesting.
We're all magnetic.
Right.
And we all kind of I feel like what you put out, you get back. So if you put out like positive energy, you're going to get back positive energy. You put out negative energy, you're going to get back.
Right.
Negative energy.
The thing I'm the thing that got me with law of attraction was the whole and, you know, I learned about it through The Secret, which I kind of like, but kind of don't like.
Yeah.
Well, because I think The Secret stops short because The Secret kind of stops at, hey, you know, hey, you get your visualization board and know what you want. And then it'll come. No, you also
have to take actional steps.
Yeah. Right. And that's
with
where the
intention and purpose.
There it is. And that's what The Secret kind of dies out on. But the thing I think The Secret got right was that whole operate on a frequency thing. Because you do. I mean, it's a measurable frequency.
Right.
Just put a couple nodes on your forehead. You can see a frequency going and mine's different than yours. So,
and music is a high frequency. So like playing pop, like music that lifts up your energy, like that changes your vibration and all of that as well.
Do you write music?
I have done it in the past. It's something I'm sort of insecure about, but I want to do. And I've been talking to my guitarist about kind of helping me flesh out ideas that I do have, like little snippets of ideas, you know.
Do you play an instrument?
I don't. I don't. It's just.
That's all right. Michael Jackson wrote a few good songs, and he didn't play an instrument either. So you're all right.
Yeah.
You don't like what you've written so far?
I don't know. I'm just really critical. So, I don't know. I was in a band called Mirrors, and that was with both my brothers and,
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It was cool.
Why did the band break up?
Well, because I don't know. I think things were changing in my life at the time. I was becoming full time. My son was going to be going.
Did you Yoko the Mirror?
No.
Okay.
Did I Yoko? Oh, I mean, I did. I was the one to walk away.
There you go. You did Yoko your own band.
But there was, you know, dynamics and like I was not comfortable with my writing style at the time. Okay. And the music that I was writing too.
What kind of music do you write?
I don't know. I guess it's like. I guess if I was to like create my own style, it would be like bluesy. It would be soulful, but it would be kind of rock with like a rock edge. You know what I mean? And
so I don't have a voice for choir. Uh-huh. And I was out of church in the church, the choir, but I can sing, but I just don't have a good choir voice. So I kept telling him, I don't have a good choir voice. You don't want Bruce Springsteen in your choir. You don't want me in your choir. And she goes, no. Come. So I joined the choir and I had done, and it was clear I don't have the choir because everybody else is, blah, 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 and I'm, yeah. And, she wrote me and she goes, you know, John, your voice is very soulful. So to me, soulful means you can't sing because she was trying to be polite and say, there's a little rasp in there, cowboy.
I think rasp is cool.
I think rasp is cool too.
Stevie Nicks is rasp.
Yeah, but not for choir singers.
No, but I mean, there is like dynamics to, I feel like there's all different kinds of vocalizing that you could do. And I feel like if I was to choose my style, it would be in that kind of, because if I was to like break down my favorite artists into like a grouping,
right.
It would be like Aretha Franklin.
Okay.
But then
that makes
like
sense with your voice.
Ann Wilson.
That also makes sense with your voice.
And Stevie Nicks.
That.
A little bit.
Voice, you have a better voice
like
than her.
But Janis Joplin even.
That
like
makes sense with your voice.
So like these are like the artists that I grew up listening to and was fascinated by at a young age. And that's kind of where I would want my music to kind of go.
I had this epiphany. See if it resonates with you. Because I used to bang my own songs to death. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the lyrics. I didn't like the chords. I didn't like my voice. I didn't like any of it. And then I realized that that's a form of self-abuse.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I'm like, and
limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of made this conscious decision to just say, maybe I'm right. Maybe the song does suck. I've written some really shitty things, but thinking the song sucks is self-abuse. So I'm just not going to do that.
Yes. Go into it with a positive mindset.
Not even positive. Just not going to abuse myself.
Right.
I just refuse to abuse myself. When I finally got my head around that, my writing ramped up like 400% and I got to the point where I actually started doing stuff that I liked.
Yeah. Like I'll be in the car and just singing something. It'll come to me and I'm like, damn it. Should have written that down. Sometimes I get great ideas. And then
do you carry a notebook or?
I have notebooks with me all the time. Sometimes I'll record myself.
Yeah.
But like what I want I want to work with my guitarist because he has a really good way of fleshing it out into a song. So
okay.
I want to like work with him on that. But that is something I want to do because I've been seeing all the time.
All right. Are you working with your guitarist because you don't trust yourself to get from A to B?
It's a little of that maybe.
Why don't you – what if you tried one on your own?
Okay.
And just see because –
I've been told, like I've gotten readings from people too, right? Because I do readings, but I'll get a reading, and they've.
Oh, like, next time, can you do a reading?
I would love to.
Okay, cool.
I would love to. I normally carry oracle cards with me, and I didn't today.
Oh, okay.
But next time.
Okay.
For sure.
Done.
I see you writing. I see you writing your own music, and this was recent.
I kind of get that vibe too. That's why I'm pushing.
I know.
I don't know why, but I get that vibe that I can.
It's time. It's like. If not now, then when?
Well, you have the wisdom now.
And why not?
You have enough life experience that you can write deep.
I feel like I do. I don't want to write too literal about my experiences, and that's what I've done in the past. Do you know what I'm saying? Right. So I have to kind of dig into where does that creative flow go?
I don't know. Sometimes.
I should just look at my journals.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I think sometimes we get like so bogged down in like the process and am I deep enough? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, I mean, I'm no great shakes at it, but sometimes, like, if I just write shit, like it just, it
you're
just
inspiring me. I'm gonna do
it. Just comes out. And but what I was saying was, mm-hmm. I stopped doing that too, because I used to think, you know, hey, I'm gonna go to blah 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 and just say, you know, hey, these are my lyrics. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And I realized that what I was really doing was just not trusting myself enough to get a song from. And by the way, if I get it from start to finish, and I look at it and I say, hey, this could really use some help. 100%.
Yeah, because I'll need some backing on it. So like that's where my guitar is.
Okay, fine, but you can do in. You can do the whole song. Yeah. You don't have to orchestrate the whole thing, but you can do the whole lyrics and melody, and then hand it off.
Well, so I've been really inspired by Macy just released a song.
Yep.
Amy just released a song, and Natasha, and all these incredible people writing their own music and sharing it with the world, and I'm like. It's time. It's like the universe is nudging.
Yeah. All right. So
it's time.
So get after it.
Okay.
There we go.
I'm on it.
Oh, beautiful. All right. So we got your best lesson out of therapy.
Yeah.
You're going to write a song.
I'm going to write a song.
Beautiful.
Yes.
You're okay with your son going to college?
Yeah.
I'm not. Okay.
I mean, listen, I don't. It's what he wants to do. Right. I don't want to stop him.
What's the trick to staying together for 28 years?
So it's interesting. So I feel like every relationship is different, but I feel like relationships are built on a foundation of love, trust, right? But on love alone, a relationship cannot stand. There needs to be the building blocks. And I feel like communication is huge, huge. If I've ever done readings for people and they're like, you know, is my relationship going to survive? I would always get like a card that had something to do with communication because, and I know with me, myself also, communicating and getting your thoughts out and really trusting that your partner will hear you, like that's scary sometimes, like to really share your deepest thoughts, worries, fears. But if you can do that and you could work together on communicating in a respectful way, that's huge right then and there. And then I also believe that mutual respect for each other is hugely important, respecting each other's differences and making time for each other is huge because we could get so busy and lose sight of, you know, hey, I'm here. You know, like we could be together doing – and honestly, spending time with my husband, one of my favorite things to do is like watch 90 Days eating Chinese food like on my couch. Like that is like quality time, hanging out outside, camping, time with my husband. Like that I love and making sure I have time for that. And then time apart is important. Like that you have your different interests that you do. Like I go out and I sing and I have band practice and stuff, or I'll do open mic. He will go golfing. He will go to, you know, play pool and do things like that.
It's funny because so this summer.
That's my little spiel.
This summer, Trish and I will be 25.
Oh, amazing.
And it wasn't all amazing.
Well,
but
I mean, there has to be ups and downs.
There were some downs. But when it was – and, you know, you talk about communication being key. That was something that we really were bad at because Trish is pretty introverted. And she was raised in a family where you don't talk about your feelings. Mm-hmm. And so like she had no skill set and it's not her nature anyway. Mm-hmm. So then she gets cancer and she gets her bell rung, right? And she goes through this year of hell, right? Now she's, and she was always very pragmatic and, you know, which was good because I'm the opposite. So she was always, now she got her bell rung. Mm-hmm. She comes out of this whole thing, does not give a fuck, and talks nonstop. Just stopped caring. It was beautiful, and
probably had like an awakening of some kind.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like kookier now, which is cool.
She feels free to be herself.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, man, it's amazing how much better it's gotten since she started communicating.
When I stopped drinking, that's what really
is that helped. That's
I'll tell you, like, and I
how much were you drinking?
Yeah, like, see, here's the thing. That's the thing. I don't think I drank that much. Like, it wasn't like I was some raging alcoholic. It right. just, I don't resonate with that. It just, it. I was using it to, as a, I was coping with it
right.
too much.
So you,
and it was during COVID. So during COVID, it was almost celebrated to drink.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a joke on TikTok, Facebook.
Yeah,
like,
nobody's driving anywhere.
Bin, yeah, you know? Yeah. And it was so kind of like the, it was like the norm to drink. And so it was like New Year's Eve. And it was my son's birthday. My son's birthday is on New Year's Eve.
Well done.
I know, right? He's a celebratory baby. So I don't make it to the ball drop. So I say my last drink was on New Year's Eve. I started out the new year. And I said, all right, I want to try and not drink. What I did not expect, this is where my spirituality really comes into play, is that the blinders that I had on that I didn't know were on, the darkness that I was trying to stumble in that I didn't know I was stumbling in because alcohol was kind of masking it, and all the negative thoughts that I was carrying. So I had this sort of like vision, and I want to share it. It's interesting. It's like walking around in like a hoarder house with the lights out, blinder, like a blindfold on. And you're walking around and you're stumbling and you're bumping into shit and you're hurting yourself. And you're like, what the fuck? So I stopped drinking, and then the blinder is taken off. Lights are on. And I'm like, oh, there's the path I'm supposed to go down. And what is all this?
We
gotta move this shit around. And so it's kind of like,
awesome.
You know, like the negative thoughts and the limiting beliefs. And it was like, it's been 3.5 years now of sifting through all that stuff in the hoarder house. And now I've got a nice, like, minimalist.
That's fantastic.
You know, kind of energy with that. Like, I still work on it every day, but I have a way better mindset.
You didn't do any program or anything?
No, because it was COVID, right? Wanted to do.
Well, they had virtual stuff you could have.
And so what I did is I was like, I had this app and I was, but like, you know what? My husband was so incredibly supportive, my son, my friends, my family, that I delved into spirituality and I never like looked back. And I'm not saying that I never will go into a program, but I looked up the 12 steps and intuitively I've done all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's weird. Because I didn't on purpose do that. I did it one day. Like, I got a nudge and I was like, let me look it up. What does it mean? Like, what are the 12 steps? I'm curious.
Right.
This was after like a year or two of not drinking. And I'm like, oh, shit. Did that. You know, give it up to a higher power. Did that.
Right.
You know? And then like I did the whole apology tour. Even though like people were like, you really didn't do anything that bad. Like, why are you so hard on yourself? And I was really hard on myself. Like, I just really wanted to change.
Right.
I was tired of living sort of in the I did not like myself, you know, and I've had to learn how to like myself again.
I've been to AA.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
Okay. See, then I made the right choice.
Yeah. Well,
I think everybody has their path.
I didn't. So I had to go to rehab as part of like my whole legal crap. But I did. So I get there and I'm there like a week and a half and they're like, you don't have a problem. And I'm like, I know I don't have a problem. I don't want to be here.
Right.
Like, I just didn't present like I had a problem. I, you know, didn't have horrible things that happened in my life because of drinking.
Right, me either.
Blah, 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 blah. But it was just part of what I had to go. And then I told them my legal situation. They're like, I would drink if I was you. I was facing 350 years in jail. It was craziness. And, but I'm here. So you know how that story ended. Yeah. But it took a long time to get there. And that's a ton of stress. But when I had to attend these meetings until I got kicked out. I had to attend these meetings, but some people just aren't helped by watching other people celebrate their victory over whatever. And everybody that led an AA meeting, all they would do is talk about how well they were managing their own stuff. And I'm like, okay, but that doesn't provide an answer to these people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's also, I don't know, and they're so political and so blah, 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 blah. I much prefer your, but it's for some people it works. Like, I've had people in here that swear by it.
Everybody has their path.
Yeah, yeah.
And mine was just different. And for me, it was to, like, start to unfold and peel back all these layers to get to who I really am and not hide or play small anymore. Like, I was very insecure growing up and And I'm still, listen, I'm not really insecure, but I have a hard time talking, like.
You're doing fine.
Thank you. I mean, about myself in a way where I'm like, I'm amazing and I'm the best. Like, I would never, like, I'm just not that person.
Right.
But, you know, I've
Which
really
makes you eminently likable, by the way.
I guess that's humble, but I don't even like that word. I just sort of, I'm just happy to be here. That's what I say. I'm happy to be here on this earth living this experience.
That's so funny you say that because I don't like the word humble either.
Yeah.
Because it feels it feels like you're manipulating your self-esteem down. Like I'm being humble.
I'm humble. I'm so sensitive. I'm so humble.
And I don't like the word honored. When people say like, I'm honored to receive an award. No, you're not honored to receive the award. You're just using that word so that you can tell me you received an award.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not. I see that all the time. Where I'm honored to be playing at blah blah blah. You're not honored to be playing at blah 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 blah. You just can't say, "Hey, I'm playing at blah 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 blah." Right. Look at me. What you're really saying is, "Look at me."
Yeah.
But you can't say that, so you got to say honored. Me. Yeah.
Ah, I like to say grateful.
Grateful works.
Grateful is my favorite word. Actually, one of my friends was like, called me out. She's like, "I love your grateful attitude. It's so refreshing." Like,
yeah, it is.
On a Facebook post, but it's true. Like, I really do come from a grateful space, and like the more you come from that place of gratitude, I feel like the more you almost train your brain to look for the things to be grateful for in life rather than lack.
Yeah.
And what you wish you had, it's like, I know what is meant for me will not pass me by, so I try to be in the flow of it all.
That works. Where do we find out about your music?
I'm on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook. Misfit Toys is on Facebook, and so is Willow Blue.
What do you got coming up?
So on the 29th, my band is playing at Station Grill.
Okay.
9 p.m. I'm hoping maybe it'll be like 8 p.m., but it'll be 9 p.m. And it's
that's the reason
my
I took this gig last week. When's your birthday?
July 2nd. And it's a milestone birthday too. So I'm kind of excited.
What milestone are we looking at?
50. I'll just say it.
Congratulations.
50 years old.
You look fantastic.
Yeah.
Congratulations. And I've got 10 years on you.
Okay.
I'm kind of at my peak now.
Yes.
So you start thinking like 50, oh, wait, am I slowing down? I'm like, no. I'm in better shape than I've ever been.
Same.
I'm smarter than I've ever been.
I'm carrying so much more wisdom.
Yeah. It's
all the lessons I've learned in
life. It's not what it used to be. You know, you think about like what 50 years looked like when you were 10, and you're like,
yeah,
like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, geez, 50 is young.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Happy birthday in advance.
Thank you.
And, okay. So on the 29th.
Yeah. On the 29th. And then, you know, I have my son's graduation, all that going on. And then, the next show after that is on the July 26th. I'm hoping I could fill in some more dates, but like, July 26th. this new place, Geneva's Blues something or other.
Where is it?
It's in Poughkeepsie.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's a blues bar, like barbecue. So I'm excited about that. And I've been invited to like sit in with some bands here and there
too. I bet.
So it's been fun. I just like to be out there and just when people invite me, it's like, oh yeah, hell yeah, I'll like come and sing a song.
Awesome.
With you. Yeah.
I'm so glad we did this.
So me too.
Thank you you will do a part two, please.
I would love to.
And you'll bring cards.
I'll bring cards.
Okay,
but and maybe my guitar is available. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be really fun.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing.
Thank you for having me.
I was right. I like you. I know. I was like, I'm gonna like her.
When you said that, I was like, I wonder why he wants me. And I was saying that at work. Like at work, I was like reading your message to me. Like I have this idea of your game, and I'm like, okay, I'm game to hear your idea. And then you're like, tell me your idea. And I'm like, I have to do this. But I'm like, why me? And my friends were listening and they're like, why not you, Heather? And I'm like, right.
Yeah.
Why not me?
Hi, by the way. And no, I'm glad you were the first one. I really am. You have such a tremendous energy.
Thank you.
I knew I was going to like you. And I'm like, I need to, because there are some people in here that I have to do a lot more heavy lifting than I did with you.
Oh, okay.
So
I didn't overtalk too much. That
not
was my
all.
Big worry that I was going to be like overtalking or something.
You can't overtalk. It's a gift if you overtalk. Thank you. And all right. That was Home From Here. Thank you.
Excellent. Pleasure.
All right. Woo. Let me shut this thing off.
I did it.
Yeah.
You were great.
I was great. It was so fun.
Oh, well, then I'm serious about part two.
I was telling you, I'm Friday, I'm off.
Oh!